713-7161. Or feel free to contact us at
662-704-0630. Again, 662-704-0630.
And until our next broadcast, remember, the devil has not forged a chain that the power of God cannot break. Until our next broadcast, God bless you. From Bishop Kenny Townsend
and Minister Mildred Townsend.
Tell somebody, say, you stand. Get a load of it.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet, as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for your grace and your mercy that endures forever, Father. And for the opportunity, my Father, to come on this radio broadcast and share with your people the love of God and the kingdom ministry of God to our lives, Father. And, Lord, I just want to say this to you, Lord. Father, I ask you that you would anoint these lips of clay to minister to the needs of all of us, my Father, so that we might know you, the only true and wise God, that we might know Jesus Christ, who you sent, and that we might know the power that's available to us through his resurrection. Father, we give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, saints. Thank you, Father, for you be the glory. Praise the Lord, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. As I always say when I come on this broadcast, what an honor, what a privilege it is to be able to come into your homes and your automobiles through this radio broadcast and share with y'all the kingdom ministry of God to your life. What an honor, what a blessing that is to me. And I trust that it is an honor and a blessing to y'all too. You know, my greatest desire is to be able to effectively communicate a message to God's people. And the message that I want to effectively communicate is the gospel of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And listen, that's an end time message. That's a message that Jesus said would be preached in all the world as a testimony to every nation. Then the end would come. As I always say on here, it's the good news, not just about Jesus, all that's contained in it, not just the thing that you just did, his death and his burial and his resurrection, that's contained in it. But it's also, and most important, the message that Jesus preached. See, there's a gospel of Jesus, as you heard me say on here many times, and there's a gospel that Jesus preached. They're two different things. The gospel of Jesus, the word gospel is just simply glad tidings, good news, a Greek word, evangelium. And it simply means glad tidings or good news. So the death and the burial and the resurrection and all that Jesus Christ did for us, boy, that's gospel. That's good news. But that's a means, M-E-A-N-S. That's a means to an end. What end, Arthur? The gospel that he preached. the gospel of him is the good news about him and all that he did and everything. The gospel that he preached was the good news about a kingdom, was the good news about a kingdom that he was bringing back to the earth. And it wasn't any kingdom. It wasn't the kingdom of Kuwait. It wasn't the kingdom of Great Britain. It wasn't the kingdom of England. It was the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. You heard me quote this many times on this broadcast. Isaiah the prophet said, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and a government shall be upon his shoulder. He said his name would be Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And he's saying of his kingdom, there would be no end. What government he was bringing on his shoulders? He was bringing a governing system, a government system, not a religion. He was bringing a governing system back to the earth. I've said this many times on here, you know. What governing system? A religion? No. What governing system? A governing system of a country, of a place. What place? Heaven. The invisible realm. The realm where our Father God lives at. The realm where our Father, which art in heaven, he come to bring the governing influence of that place to this earth. Impacting it, man, with the will and the desire and the intent and the purpose of God for the lives of mankind. What did he come bringing? A governing system. He come to bring a world. What's a world? A world is a pattern of operation, a system, the way things are governed, the way things are, a system, a pattern of operation. He came to bring that world. What world? The system, the pattern of operation, the functioning principles of what, Arthur? Of heaven. He came to bring to us all that heaven is, the culture of heaven, the attributes of heaven, the lifestyle of heaven, the blessings of heaven, the peace of heaven, the joy of heaven, everything that heaven consists of. He couldn't bring that to us. He didn't come in to get us right and then take us to heaven. He couldn't bring heaven to us. That's God's original intent. That's God's original idea. You prayed it all our lives. Father, what? Let your kingdom come. Because when your kingdom comes, then your will can be done on earth just as it is in heaven. And then he made this statement. Now give us every day our daily bread. Let me say it plain and simple. Now give us every day, Father, everything that we have need of to help you accomplish that. What? Our kingdom, man, being reestablished, restored, advanced in the earth. What? Give us every day everything that we have need of to help you, Father, accomplish that. What? Your kingdom and your will. What's your kingdom? That's your way of doing things. That's your plan. That's your desire. That's your intent. That's your purpose for our lives. So what your will is, you're not willing that none should perish, but that all men might be saved, and that it might be on earth just like it is in heaven. That we all may have your character, your nature, your image, your likeness, function like you, talk like you, look like you, act like you, be like you, live like you. That's his will. That's his will for our lives. And boy, I'm talking about, boy, listen, not only is that his will, his life, but he said this here. Many are the plans in a man's heart. You know the scriptures in Proverbs. But it's my purpose that's going to prevail. It's my counsel that's going to stand. You have many plans, but my purpose will prevail. My will prevail. You know what I said? I'm going to have what I said. If I said it, I'm going to do it. And God is saying to us, anything that you see that I've spoken, I'm going to bring that to pass. It's going to come to pass. What, Father? Everything that I said. Because you said about us, Father, what was your original intent? And what was your original desire? And what was in your mind even before you even spoke a word, Father? What was in your heart concerning us? You know, David said in the book of Psalms, you know, 119, he said, Lord, teach me your precepts. And he's the only person I see in the Bible where God said, I don't know, I haven't read the Bible, I don't know how many times, you know. He's the only person I saw in the Bible where God said, you're a man after my own heart. What do you mean after your own heart? The word heart there means, you know, same word we use for mind. You know, that you want to know not my hands, not my words, You want to know what's in my mind, David. You know, you're a man after my own heart. You know, a lot of people want to see my hand. They want to see my work. They interested in miracles. They seen the work that Jesus did, and they followed him because of all the work that he did. But David said, Lord, teach me your precepts. Hallelujah. So that I might have everything and get it all right, Father. And if my precepts are right, then my and it comes from you, then my concepts will be right. What's precept? The original idea. What's the concept? A picture of all those ideas put together where you can see things. If we're not careful, if we don't know the original idea of God, then we put all our concepts together and all the concepts that we have, you know, sometimes it can be wrong. So it's very important that we know, you know, God's precept, just like David said, that we be more than after God's hand and what God can do for us, and Lord, bless me, and Lord, bless me with a house, and bless me with a car, and Lord, help me pay my bills and all that. Hey, listen, the Bible says, your father know that you have need of all those things. You say the pagans speak after those things. Who are the pagans? That's the religious people. That's the people, you know, that's devout religious people. What do they seek after? They seek after all those things. You say, but your father knows that you have need of all those things. But if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you. See, if we read that carefully, that'll destroy your prayer life. So we pray for the things. When God say, you don't have to pray for houses and land and cars. And God know that you have need of all those things. But we have to pray for Arthur. Pray for his will to be done. For his kingdom to be established on the earth. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer. That's kind of like they call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's really a seminar that Jesus was teaching the people in about how to pray. When the disciples asked him, Lord, teach us how to pray. And Jesus begun the prayer and say, hey, pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, Father, our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all sin and evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Hey, listen, we terminology that as the Lord's Prayer. That's really not the Lord's Prayer. You know, that's a template. That's Jesus giving a seminar to his disciples on how to pray. So that is an outline. That's a template. You know what a template is. If you want to do something, you know, they give you a guideline to do it by. That prayer is just a template. But I remember one time I was going on the computer, you know, and I wanted to make some covers for some CDs that I was making. And they sent me, you know, they gave me the paperwork to do it on from Office Depot and everything else. And then the paperwork and the little folders that we had it on to do the labels on, it came with a template. It came with an outline, you know, on how to set up everything on the computer so that it would print out the way it needed to be printed out, you know. And all it was a template. You know what a template is. But I had to put in the information. I had to put in our name. I had to put in the name of the message. I had to put in all the information. The outline was there, but I had to put the information in. That's what that prayer is. You know, that's a template. That's an outline. But we got to put the information in. Simple prayer. Our Father, the source and sustainer. Yeah, that right there, you know, it's more than just our Father. That's source and sustainer. That's the source of our life. That's the sustainer of our lives. That's why David was able to say, boy, the Lord is my shepherd. And listen to what he's saying. The Lord is my shepherd. And because the Lord is my shepherd, man, I don't want for anything. The Lord. Say that again, Arthur. Hey, listen, we say that in the, you know, the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Listen, if the Lord is your shepherd, if he really is your shepherd, then you don't have to worry about nothing. Well, you don't worry about your sheep. You don't have to worry about no lions. You don't have to worry about no bears. You don't have to worry about no wolves. You don't have to worry about even no wolves in sheep clothes. You don't have to worry about none of that. But the Lord is your shepherd. I shall not want. He making me to lie down in green pasture. He restores my soul, lead me in the path of righteousness. Watch this here. For his name's sake. Not for me. Boy, God got to watch over his word. God got to maintain his reputation. Everything that God is doing for us, boy, that's for his name's sake. What you mean, Arthur, for his name's sake? He spoke some things about us. He's the manufacturer. And we the product. And let me tell you something. A manufacturer, man, he won't take care of their product. Why? Because that's their name. That's their reputation. That represents them. Their product represents them. You buy a product from a manufacturer, man, they give you a booklet with it, an outline with it, man, and a warranty and everything else. They'll fix it for you if anything go wrong with it, man. They tell you, no, don't attempt to do this yourself and don't bring it nowhere else. You turn it back to us, and, man, we will either fix it or we will give you another one. Why they do that? Because they got to protect their name. They got to protect their if anything goes wrong with their products, man, and they get the word out and say, hey, man, those products not no good and they don't do nothing about it, then they're going to mess up their whole reputation, their whole name. The consumer ain't going to even want their product no more. So they'll tell you, hey, bring that back or send that back, and, man, we will fix it for you at no cost. Why? That's their name, say. Got to protect their name. Same thing with God. Well, he's going to do everything he don't do for us, man. Not cause, and listen, no people in the manufacturer don't even know you. They don't know nothing about you. But they got to protect their product. Why are they? For their name's sake. Same thing, boy, with God and us, man. You know, say, God got to watch over us. Because he our father. He our source. He our sustainer. He got to take he got to do what he said he was going to do. Now, if you don't know him in that way, you know, and if you just know him as God, then that's a different thing because he all sufficient. But if you know him as our father, Lord. Well, let me tell you something. He's the father, again, is source and sustainer. So you got to let him know that. So you got to know that. And then you got to put in the information in that, Lord, you my source. You my sustainer. My life is hid in you. You created me. I've been bought with a price. I'm not my own. I belong to you. You my father. You're my source. You're the source of my life. You're the sustainer of my life. And if you're the source of my life and the sustainer of my life, then I don't have to want for nothing. You got this. You got me. But see, if you don't know that, if you don't know him in that way, I remember Donnie McGregor had a song out a while back, boy, 10, 15 years ago, and it said, went like this. Who would have thought that I could get to know you this way? Well, I say the same thing over and over and over, boy, way for the last 30 years that I've been getting to know Lord, getting to really know the Lord. Who would have thought that we could get to know you this way? Well, as our Father, not just as Almighty God and self-sufficient one and Elohim and creator of the universe, but Daddy. Can you imagine that? It's Almighty God that's the creator of the universe. That's our Daddy. That's our Father. That's our source. That's our sustainer. He really got us. He said, that's why he said, unless the Lord build a house, I'll lay it in vain. Boy, he got a marvelous plan and a marvelous purpose for all our lives. And again, in his plan and his counsel and his purpose, that's what's going to stand. And then as we get in on that and learn that, boy, then you can get in on his plan and learn and his work for our lives. And we'll cease from our work and we'll enter into what the Bible calls a rest. Rest from what? You don't do nothing, no. Rest from our works and get in on a completed work. And do what, Brother Arthur? Just start becoming who we already are. Instead of trying to get what from God, we'll just start having what's already ours. God. I'm going to say that again. Instead of trying to get our inheritance, our blessings, our healing, our deliverance, our peace, our joy, our provision, our salvation. Instead of trying to get it, we'll start just having what's already ours. We're not careful, we're trying to get what's already ours. Instead of just having what already belongs to us. Salvation is your inheritance. That's a gift from God. Righteousness, man, belong to you. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. the Holy Spirit, the governor of the kingdom. That's a gift from God. Peace, joy, all of those are gifts from God. That's all. And listen, we said it during the Christmas holiday that many times, boy, you know, I mean, we open up all the gifts that we give from one another during holiday seasons and Christmas season and birthdays and anniversaries and all other holidays that we give, giving to, you know. And forget all the gifts that God has given us and lead them under the tree year after year after year. What gifts are they? The gift of salvation. The gift of everlasting life. The gift of faith. The gift of grace. The gift of the Holy Spirit. And the gifts that he gives to all of us. All those are gifts that God is freely want to give to us. He said, if you didn't even know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more would the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to his children? Gifts. And you try to get, man, what you already have, and just leave them under the tree year after year after year, day after day after day. Get to opening up that gift of salvation. Get to opening up that gift of eternal life. Get to opening up that gift of faith. The Bible says, for by grace are we saved through faith. And that's not of ourselves. It's a gift from God. But you're saying, oh, the boy, all these things that we already have that we're trying to get. Trying to get what we already have instead of just having what's already out. Oh, Lord. That's what I was talking about when David said, Lord, teach me your precepts. Because I don't get your concepts wrong. So I don't get a group of ideas in my picture wrong here. If I do, then my destination is going to be in error. Case in point. See, you know, we just get preoccupied with his concepts. Most of our concepts is, man, you know, live good and live the best we can, man, and serve the Lord and go to church. And when we die, we all going to go to heaven and live with God forever and ever and ever. That's the concept that most believers have. But that's not, boy, that's an error. You're not going to live in heaven forever and ever and ever. You're going to live on earth forever and ever. But if you don't know the original idea of God and the original plan and purpose and destiny of God, then you come up with a whole bunch of concepts that could be an error. Like I say, most believers, man, believe that they're going to try to make it to heaven, trying my best to make it in. They ain't going to spend eternity in heaven with God. No, that's his territory. That belongs to him. The earth he gave to you and I. And his will is that it be in our lives here on earth. What? That his kingdom come wide so that his will can be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. Revelation chapter 21 say that. This is after 20. After chapter 21, he say the false prophet, the dragon, the antichrist, Babylon, all that. Everything cast into eternal separation from God. Hell. Never again able to be able to deceive the nation of the people. No more. And after all that's done and they all cast into the pit of hell, the lake of fire, whatever you want to call it, then the Bible says, then behold, I saw a new heaven, new atmosphere, ozone layers and all that mess. They ain't got to worry about all that. Hurricane, earthquakes and all that. Ain't got to worry about all that. A new atmosphere, a new heaven, and a new earth. And it was on earth just like it is in heaven. Why? Because you saw the holy city. Who is the holy city? That's the new Jerusalem, the city of peace. Where all God's children, where all of us had went up to heaven, our Lord, been 1,000 years up there. And after that, boy, we come down. After the 1,000 year reign, and then, well, guess what? Then we coming back. Coming back where? To what God's original plan and purpose and intent and desire is for our lives. What's that, Arthur? That it be in our lives here on earth, just like it is in him. But all you say, hey, we coming back. That's why I said if you don't have your precepts, if you don't understand, that's what religion has done, you know. I didn't say people are religious people. I'm talking about religion itself. That's what it has done. It has called, boy, the gospel that Jesus Christ, boy, that's what they were trying to do with it, man. Trying to bury the gospel of Jesus in the graveyard of religion. So that God people don't never discover, boy, that mess. that good news, that gospel. Like I was telling you on the broadcast, we had, listen, when we came on, when we started, you know, this broadcast, we say that there's a difference between the gospel of Jesus and the gospel that he preached. The gospel of Jesus is all the good news, once again, all about Jesus. The gospel that he preached, that's the good news about you and I. About you and I is, boy, as he is, so are we. Well, when you look at the life of Jesus and you see the thing that you see that he done, everything else, when you see that, you know, sometimes we say, well, that's Jesus. I can't be like that. I can't do that. That's Jesus. That's Almighty Jesus. Yes, you can. You know what I'm talking about? You don't know the God of the kingdom. The boy, the kingdom boy, you just like him. He ain't no big G, big old guy. He's a first boy. He's our big brother, but we just like him. He come to show us, boy, what we like. He come to show us how we supposed to be. He come to give us a picture of him, of us. How you see Jesus do it, as you see of him and as you think of him and as you know of him, that's how you are too. He the firstborn among many brethren. He created us just like him. He made us just like him. We're just like him in character and nature. And the work that we saw him doing, we read of him doing, and we heard of him doing on earth, you can do those works too. I can do those things too. And just like God raised him from the dead by the power of the Holy Ghost, boy, that's the same thing that's going to happen to you when you die. The same devils that he was casting out and wouldn't leave him speaking, rooting and reigning over circumstances and situations and symptoms in his life, boy, you and I can do the same thing. But if you don't ever hear that, and the devil don't ever want you to know that and hear that and hear that and hear that, he don't mind you hearing that every now and then. Why? Because, boy, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you hear and hear and hear and hear and hear, boy, that as he is, so are you, then you don't have faith in that. So you got faith in that, boy, when I die, I'm going to try to get to heaven and go to hell. Why? Because you've been hearing all your life. You ain't heard, man, over and over and over and over and over and over and over all your life that heaven and came to you. You ain't heard that. You ain't heard the gospel of the king. You ain't the gospel of Jesus. But you ain't heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. So they don't have no faith in that. Why? Because faith, again, comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of the Most High God. Hey, listen. God love us. God has a marvelous plan and a purpose and a destiny. All of our lives, man. And I'm talking about our eyes ain't seen, ears ain't heard. They ain't even entered into our hearts. The thing that our Father has in store for us, boy. And I'm talking about he wants us to come to the knowledge of it. That's why God put us on this radio broadcast, to bring to you the knowledge of some things perhaps that the enemy has tried to steal from us. The Bible says in Hosea, God speaking to the prophet, he says, my people are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. What kind of lack of knowledge are they? They don't know what's really going on. They don't know who they really are. They think they're just servants of the Lord, when all the time they're sons and daughters of the Lord. They think they're just, man, Christians, when all the time, man, they are citizens of the kingdom. Instead, they think they're just members of a church, and when all the time they don't understand that they are sons and daughters of the Most High God. They think and act and live and die like mere men and mere women, when all the time they're offsprings of the Most High God. Listen, all the things that we see that Jesus was doing, you can do that too. I can do that too. I can live just like him. The same way he lived on this earth, ruling and reigning over all the circumstances, situations, and siblings in his life, so can we. But how come others ain't like that? Because you ain't been hearing that. You ain't been hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing that. So therefore, you ain't been exercising no faith in that and operating in that and walking in that and acting like that and talking like that and being like that. You've been being, man, a Christian instead of citizen of the king. You've been being a servant of the Lord instead of a son. Listen, servants don't have no inheritance. The Bible says in the book of Colossians, man, we are no longer servants but sons of God. And if sons of God, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. See, if you're just a servant, then you don't know nothing about your inheritance. That's for the son. That's what I'll say. The inheritance, all of the kingdom of heaven. Come, you who are blessed of your father, and get your inheritance. the kingdom of heaven. Listen, that was prepared for us. That was ours before the foundation of the world. God already decided that before he made us, that he's going to give, boy, that he's going to extend his governing influence of heaven to earth through you and through me, through us. Isn't that cover, man? Are we doing that? Is the church doing that? No, we're trying to put on programs and have good church and good service and everything else and stir up folks' emotion and get them off. You do the math. Listen, I don't know. I'm going to go ahead on and say it. You might not like it, but you do the math, man. How many messages have you heard on the kingdom of God? And most of you have been going to church, you know, who listen to this radio broadcast are believers and love the Lord, you know, and hearts are tender toward God. If you're listening to this broadcast, that means your heart is tender toward God. That means, boy, God has a place in your heart. That means that God may want to, if he's not, he want to come live and walk and move and talk with you. And most of you may have been going to church, man, all your life from little bitty children. But you do the math. I'm going to ask you a question. How many messages have you heard, man? The subject matter. Subject matter of what's the kingdom of hell? When all everything that they were talking about in the sermon was all about the kingdom of hell. All about the kingdom of hell. How many messages have you heard about the kingdom of God? Most of us as believers, man, don't know too much about the kingdom of God. Don't know a whole lot about it. When if you read your gospel, if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're going to discover something. Well, that's all Jesus talked about. I ain't talking about byproduct. I mean, that's all he talked about. That's the only thing that he talked about. That's everything that he shared. Everything he was talking about was pertaining to the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. That's what his message was. All through his message, all through the four gospels, he had one message. Everything that he preached to the people was about one subject matter. What subject matter was that, Arthur? About the kingdom of heaven and its governing influence and how to function in it and the laws that governs it and how to operate in it and how to walk and talk and live and how to, as Christians, but as citizens of the kingdom. And not only as citizens of the kingdom, but kings and queens in this kingdom, ruling and reigning in this kingdom. Over what, Arthur? Over people? No. Over every circumstance, situation, and symptom that confronts our life. What are we doing, Brother Arthur? Well, we ruling and reigning. Ruling and reigning over what? Every circumstance, every situation, and every symptom that confronts our life. I'm going to say it one more time. How many messages have you heard about the kingdom of God? I mean the subject matter of it. I'm going to get a little bit deep to we as ministers of the gospel. Have we impounded that into the lives of our people? This is what Jesus said, boy, in the gospel. He said all the way from Moses to John the Baptist, the law and the prophets was preached. But now, from now on, the kingdom of God is being preached. What do you say, Doctor? Now, boy, that can... Some theologians and some pastors and some prophets and some evangelists and some teachers and everything else, boy, that might not go over too good with them. I'm going to say it one more time. Jesus said this here. He said all the way from Moses to John the Baptist, the law and the prophets was preached. But now... the kingdom of heaven is being preached. Another place he said, boy, hey, you have heard that it had been said. You start quoting Moses and all of that stuff in Matthew chapter 5. And then he says, but I say unto you. In Hebrews, it said this here. In time past, God spoke to us through the prophets and through all those guys and everything else. But in this time, in this day and time, he won't speak to you himself through his son. Hey, not his permissive will that he was speaking, man, through the prophets, but his perfect will that he is speaking, man, through his son. What's his perfect will is our life? He said, I know the plans that I have for you, said the Lord. They are plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope in a future. And when you call upon me, I'll answer you. And when you seek me, you'll find me. And when you seek me with your whole heart, not only will you find me, what are the, when you seek me with your whole heart, when you seek my precept, when what you going to do? You're not only going to find me, but you're going to find everything that I got for you, all your inheritance. What's that inheritance? all of the kingdom of heaven. Tell you, boy, Jesus man preached one message. Many aspects of it, one message. He just had one desire. That's why the first word he said, man, when he begun his public ministry, was repent. What are the, see, most of us, that's why I say if your concepts are wrong, then you're going to end up wrong. Why? Because he don't know the precepts. If you, when we say repent, and most people like, they say to me, man, go down to the altar and tell the Lord, I'm sorry, and I ain't going to do this no more, and I'm going to quit doing this, and I'm going to quit doing that, and I ain't going to do that no more. Hey, listen, that's remorse. Repent, man, all that will happen. A lot of us knowing what repentance is and us repenting. We will stop doing this and stop doing this that ain't right. But how are you going to do that, though? It's God's way. What's God's way? You got to change your way of thinking. Repentance starts in your mind first, in your thinking, in your attitude, in the way you see things. Because if you stop thinking, man, the thoughts, man, of this world that you were born and trained and conditioned to think like and start thinking the thoughts of God, and you're going to start acting like God. Because there's a man thinking in his heart, so is he. You're going to start talking like God. You're going to start walking like God. You're going to start living like God. You're going to start being like God. And he's a holy God. You're going to start living holy. How? When you change, man, your whole way, your whole philosophy, your whole way of thinking. Change it to what, boy? Arthur, tell boy you have that same mind, like Jesus said, that same mind that was in Christ Jesus be on the inside of us. What mind was that, Arthur, who thought it not robbed to be, boy, just like his father? They say, Lord, show us the Father. Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Lord. But he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Hallelujah. Why? Because I'm just like it. And I'm not it. I'm the door. I'm the way to it. The way to who? The way to the Father. The way to all the things that God has in store for us. But he say, I'm not it. I'm the door to it. And if we're not careful, we get preoccupied with the door and miss out on everything that's behind the door. But Jesus' desire for us is to come to the door, come through the door, and go for what's behind the door. What's behind the door, Arthur? Oh, of your identity, all of your dominion, all of your raw power, all of your ability to be everything that you're trying to be. Line up on line, precept up on precept, little by little by little by little. Doing what, Arthur? Becoming who we already are. Who are we, Arthur? We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. We're kings and queens in the earth. We are chosen generation. We are royal priesthood. We mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God that can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Who can live that way? What? Everything that pertains to life. I ain't talking about natural life. I'm talking about everything that pertains to Zoe life. What kind of life is that? The God kind of life. Everything that pertains to life and godliness. Godliness, being like God, just like the Bible says, be ye holy, for the Lord your God is. Well, and how are you going to do all this? You got to learn about the kingdom. You got to learn the functioning principles of the kingdom. You got to learn the laws that governs the kingdom. There's not enough to be in the kingdom. Once you get in the kingdom, now you're just like a little bitty baby. You're just like a little child. You don't know how to walk and talk and live and act and everything else. That's why God said, Jesus said, seek first. He said, all of the kingdom of heaven is available to you, and I'm going to clean you up and get you in it. But now that's in it, now you can start seeking how to live in it, how it functions, what governs it. So you've been teaching, you've been speaking the wrong thing, how to live a Christian life instead of how to live kingdom life. Say that again, Arthur. You've been trying your best to live the best Christian life that you can. And that ain't no bad thing. Instead of trying to live in a kingdom life, it's a big difference. Living a Christian life, you get caught up in the religion of Christianity. You start living kingdom life, you get caught up in man. Hallelujah. The things of God. The mighty things of God. The great things of God. Well, that's in the kingdom life. Hallelujah. And that's what God has for us. I can continue on with this. Let me close. I'm going to pause for just 1 second. This will be 1 2, we can play that the ad I have for my sister. Hello?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Well,
our God,
well,
our God
is a good God, you know.
I told you on this broadcast last week how the enemy tried to do everything he can to distract us and sidetrack us and get us off course toward God's purpose and God's destiny for our lives and everything else. And it was the same way, you know. I don't know. They tell me I can do my broadcast from home, and perhaps later on I will. But, boy, it's something about me coming up to this radio station and being up here with my brother, you know, in his company. The Bible says wherever two of you are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. So it's an atmosphere. And boy, I'm on my way up here. I was coming up here, boy, and I mean, I couldn't find the things that I needed. Couldn't find my wallet, my backpack, my phone, everything that I had in it. And man, I got halfway up here because I live in Bunker. I get 30, 40 minutes drive from my hometown, Bunker, to here to the radio station. And boy, I got, I guess about 1/3 of the way, and I thought looking for my phone, and I saw I had lost my bag and everything. And I went back home, tried to find it, and was running late. So the first part of the broadcast, you know, I was coming up here because I could say, well, there's a will, there's a way. And boy, I was doing it over the phone, you know, to let the devil know that, man, you can huff and you can puff, but ain't no way in the world you're going to stop, boy, God's message from going forward. Even if it didn't, whatever come what may. Boy, this gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached in all the world. And listen, I ain't just talking about through me. I'm talking about through all those who God is raising up, boy, in this last day and in this time that we living in. To do what, boy? To fulfill man his purpose and his destiny. Jesus said that. He told the disciples. He said, listen, after he had discipled them and trained them and conditioned them and got them prepared and got them ready, then he told them, go. First he called them. First he said, come. And they came and they followed him and they got and they learned of him. What did they learn of him? He taught them the functioning principles of the kingdom. Remember when the disciple told him, Lord, you speak to the people in parables, but you speak to us plain. He told them, he said, because you are my students. You are my disciples. You are learners. You are seeking after me. You're going after me. The multitudes, they followed me because they ate the food and they saw the miracles and everything else. But y'all want to know me. Y'all want to know what's really going on. So I speak in parables until they're ready to discover it. But you, because you hungry for it and you want to know, hey, listen, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, man, after righteousness and after the perfect will of God. Why? Because they will be filled. They say, I teach you the secrets of it. I give you the keys of it. I teach you things that they won't know. They can know, but they won't know. Why? What's the difference? Because you're seeking. You're doing what? You're seeking first the kingdom of God. You're seeking my interest. You gave up everything, man, to come and follow me and to get in on what I'm doing and to help me accomplish, boy, what the Father sent me to do. And because you are getting in on what I'm doing, you ceasing from your works, Peter, James, John, y'all are fishermen, y'all cease from all y'all works, James, tax collectors, all y'all cease from all y'all works, and you're coming to follow me? Hey, because you follow me, then I'm going to give you the secrets of the kingdom. I'm going to show you, teach you the functioning principles. I'm going to teach you all about the kingdom. And then when I teach you all about the kingdom, and then I finish, and then after I clean you up, die on the cross and get raised from the dead and take my seat at the right hand of the Father. But before I do that, man, I'm going to give you an assignment. What? I'm going to give you a great co-mission. What? I'm going to give you a great mission. What's a co-mission? Well, a group of y'all, all of y'all. A mission for a company, a group, for everybody. What's the great co-mission? Go into all the world. Do what? He sent them. First he called them. Then he saved them. And then he sanctified them. He separated them unto himself. He didn't just separate them from something. He separated them to something. To what, Arthur? To him. They came unto him, and they learned him. And when they came unto him and learned of him, that's sanctification, boy. Then the Bible says, then he glorified them. What, boy? Boy, he filled him with the ability, man, to manifest the glory of God upon the earth. How he did that, Arthur Boyd? Boy, he breathed on him and said, here, receive ye the Holy Spirit. The same power that's on the inside of me that opened up the blind eyes that you saw me do, that unstopped the deaf ears, that caused the lame to walk and the dumb to talk and the blind to see and the dead to be raised to life. The same power, the same ability, the same person, the same one that doeth the work, the Holy Ghost, here, receive ye him. Hey, Lord. And then, boy, he sent him. He said, now go. Go where? Go into all the world. What world? All the world. The hip-hop world. The entertainment world. The movie world. The gay world. The casino world. The every world, every arrangement, every pattern of operation, the sports world, the financial world, the education world, the social system world, every arrangement, every pattern of operation upon this earth, go into all the world and do what? And make disciples of all men. Didn't he say go make Christians out of them? Or Muslims out of them? Or Buddhists out of them? Or Hindus out of them? Or Scientologists out of them? A Baptist out of them, a Methodist out of them, a Church of God in Christ out of them, a Mormons out of them. No, he said, go and make disciples of all men. How? By teaching them everything that I taught you. What he taught them? He taught them all about the kingdom, all the functions and principles of the kingdom. He taught them them parables. Then when he got them discipled by himself, then he explained it to them. He opened their eyes up to it so that they could really understand and see what he was really saying. Why? Because he had an assignment for him. What was that assignment? The same assignment that the Father had for him. The Father sent him down here and saying, go into every arrangement that's upon that earth. Amen. Bring the kingdom ministry of God to every pattern of operation, every system, everyone. Go bring that to him. And he's saying, Lord, I'll be with you always, even till the end of time. Hey, listen, I just have a few minutes left on here, and I want to take a moment and just share with y'all about a big business and make a little advertisement that we have here. So listen for just a minute, if you will, please. And this announcement is about Body Works Bar, touchless massage bar, located in Bunker, Louisiana, there in the Piggly Wiggly Shopping Center at 125 Chevy Lane. I'm going to play this for you so you can listen to it, and we're going to update it in the following.
This is Shayla with Body Works Balance Bar, and we specialize in touchless massage. Have you always wanted a massage but not really keen on someone touching your body? Then we have aqua massage, hydro massage, massage chairs, sauna dome detox, and V-Steam services. You will love them all. Please give us a call at 318-295-2042. You can also book an appointment online at bodyworksbalancebar.com. We're open Monday through Friday from 4 to 7. And also Saturday from 9 to 4. We would love to have you at the spa, 125 Chevy Lane in Bunkie. This is Shayla at Body Works Balance Bar, and I'd like to formally invite all of our Bunkie residents as well as surrounding areas to our spa. We specialize in aqua massage, hydro massage, massage chairs, sauna dome detox, and V-Steam services. If you've always been interested in a massage but not really keen on someone touching your body, then Body Works Balance Bar is the perfect place for you because all of our massages are touchless. Touchless massage has been known to assist with relaxation, anxiety relief, and even pain relief. So definitely give us a call at 318-295-2042, or you can book an appointment online at bodyworksbalancebar.com. We're physically located at 125 Chevy Lane in Bunkie. We're open Monday through Friday from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. and 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday. During the month of Aiden, we also have a $5 off special. You do not have to have a coupon in order to partake in that $5 discount. Just give us a call at the spa. We would love to have you.
Okay. Well, hey, we're going to perfect this that we're doing as far as our announcement that we're doing, you know. But you all go by and visit Body Works Massage, Touchless Massage Parlor that they have there in Bunkie. Miss Shayla Green Williams is the owner there, and the atmosphere is perfect. The environment is perfect. The service is great, and the prices are really great. So those of you in the Bunker area and the surrounding area, go by there and do your body well and get you a massage, a touchless massage. Now, also, you know, we have some brothers that's doing some work over at the Bunker Community Center, the Bunker Life Center there at the formerly the Bunker Middle School gym. We know it as the old Carver High School gym. But you have some brothers, Rufus Thomas, and you have some other folks that's helping them a little bit, Bobby Connells and Laverne Sampson and Lim Thomas and his wife and a few other people, you know, that's assisting them and getting that facility up and going. They've had a few activities they had going on over there. And I want to encourage you all in the Bunker area, you know, to go and see what's going on over there and see how you can get behind that and support that, because that's a great thing that they want to do there for the community. That's been my heart's desire ever since I moved back to home, and it's to see it up and going and the functioning and the thing that's going on in there. Boy, that does a heart good, and that does me great. And I wish the best for them. I want the best for them. Any way we can support them, man, let's do that. So I encourage all of you in the Bunker area and even the surrounding areas to go by and see there, because that's not a one thing that's something that just only one group of people can do or a small group of people. It'll take a community, you know, to put that together and to make that happen and to provide that safe environment and place for our youth, and not only our youth, but for all the citizens of our community. To go there, man, and be in a lot of cases educated and re-educated in a lot of cases, but a place for us to go and develop. And most important, man, where we can begin to come together as one. So if you're in the Bunker area, go by there at the Bunker Middle School facility. If not, you can contact Rufus Thomas. You all know them in the Bunker area. Laverne Sampson. You also can get in touch with Mr. Bobby Connell or Lim Thomas, either one of those in that area over there. And also Rufus' brother, Carl Thomas, Lee, you know, those are the Bunker area. And go and find out, you know, how can you assist? How can you help? How can you get behind them to make what they're doing a success in our community? That would be a blessing. And the last thing that we're going to take the rest of our broadcast to share with y'all, on this past Thursday night, we had our swearing in of our newly elected officials in the Bunker area, our mayor, our city council, the chief of police. And we had an awesome time Thursday night at the swearing in, and it was awesome. It was history being made there. And for the next few minutes that we have on the broadcast with us, our newly elected mayor, Mayor Brenda Callahan Sampson. Brenda, you there?
Yes, I'm here, Pastor Laurel.
Amen. Hey, praise the Lord. What an honor and what a blessing. It sure was a tremendous time that we had over that Thursday night at the swearing in. And, man, listen, I never been so proud of my little town and community, boy. As I was doing that night. And thank you, you know, for first of all, for deciding to run for mayor and for winning. And we know and believe with all our heart that you're going to be a tremendous inspiration and a blessing to the community of Bunker and the surrounding communities, too. So we'd like to just give you the rest of the time on this radio broadcast to share with them whatever you want to share in your heart, whatever in your heart.
Well, first of all, I thank God, because without him, nothing is possible. And I want the community to know that's who I put first. I think God will lead us in the right direction. I know he will. He always does. And I want to thank you for all of your support, for the support you gave me with being on your broadcast, and just the support I got from the community.
Yeah.
Thursday night was an exciting night, and I was just so happy to see our community come together, because that's what I wanted. A community event. I want to start out that way. That's the way I want it to be. I want the community involved. I got some exciting ideas swirling around in my head, but it will all be with community involvement and support, so we can see if we can get Bunker thriving and get it to be what we want it to be and what our citizens are proud of.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen, amen, Brenda. You know, and it's going to take, like, the same thing I was saying about the middle school facility over there. It's going to take more than just the elected officials. It's going to take all of us as a community to get behind those who we have elected in there and to find out in every way that we can how can we assist you all in carrying out y'all responsibilities, you know, that y'all have there. In your opinion, what do you think we as the community at the beginning stages of this new governance system that we have there in the community of Bunker, what can we do as the community and the citizens to join in with you and to help and support you all And I know y'all got great plans, and they all going to come into fruition as time go on, and great ideas and everything else. But as a community, is there anything that you want us to know that we can do in order to help, man, make that a reality of what y'all plans and desire is for our community? What you need us to do?
Yes, but I'm glad you asked that question, because I always talk about community involvement, and I've had some good ideas from citizens. So I'd like to have citizens. We're going to organize some committees of citizens who are interested in certain facets of the community. I've had people to come up to me who had great ideas about drainage problems. They worked in that area. They know some things. Then we're going to draw them in. Get your ideas, see what we can do, because that's what I mean when I say community involvement. I want the community to be involved. If you just have an idea, come to us with it. We don't know, you know, whether we can work it out, but we can look at it.
Yeah.
So come to us with your ideas, with your thoughts, so that we can work together. Because a lot of times, I don't know if people just, I don't know if they've not been invited into the process, or sometimes people are kind of leery. Sometimes people think, well, my idea might not be worth much, or I don't know if this will work. We don't know, but we don't know unless we try it,
yeah.
Unless we brainstorm, look at it, see what we can do. And so I'm inviting our community to do that. Everybody in the community pretty much knows me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like anything that the community has that they think will work, that they think will help us, we're open and we're ready for it. We're looking for it.
Yes.
And I just think that community involvement is going to make a whole lot of difference if we can get people to come into the process. Come to the council meeting. See what's going on. You know, if it's something you don't understand, ask about it. Talk to your council members. I think the council is going to be good. They're ready to go. You know, you have council people you can work through. You have a mayor you can work through, a police chief. Just come in and just come into the process.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. You know, I noticed something, too, Mayor Sampson, that in the swearing in, that there was a lot of people there, and I heard some people say they hadn't seen that many people come out to a swearing in, and mm-hmm. I don't know if they ever saw that many or had that many that participated in it, you know. And what I saw in that was a community that's coming together, you know, because wow. Most of them, like I say, this was my first time going to one, and I know since I've been here, they had a couple of swearing in a couple of elections, you know. But this time it was a lot of people out there. And what I saw in public was a community that's coming together. And that's very, very, very important. That just like we came together as far as, you know, getting involved in the election this time and supporting you and the rest of the elected officials and getting in those seats, it took a joint effort, a community effort, you know. And I would pray, you know, that we as a community and all those that are out there in the sound of my voice, and that they, if, and those who are not here, that those who do hear, how they would get involved in a very important aspect of the success of this endeavoring that we finna get into, and that's togetherness. You know, us coming together as one people. And as I heard you say in the meeting, it's not about just black people. Are not about, you know, white people. It's about us as a community. It's not about those, they voted for you then or not. But the fact is that y'all are in there now, and it's time for us to get along and assist y'all in bringing our community together as one, you know. And it is also a prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17. He said, Father, I pray that they may become one, like you and I are one. You and I are one, Father, and then when they become one, then you and I who are one, and when they one, then they can be in us, and we can be in them, and we all be just one people, one faith, one God, one great baptism, one desire, and that's for a utopia, a better world, a better life, a better community, better life. But it's going to take more than just the elected officials. It's going to take us as a community to get behind our elected officials and find out whatever ways that we can assist y'all in carrying out, man, the governing influence that God has gifted y'all with the ability to do in our community. So I would encourage everybody out there. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Brian.
Well, I just wanted to say that I was overwhelmed with the support. But I think that I've been in city government for 13 years. And normally what the swearing in, we go into the city court, you know, our families are there. and we swear in and we go home. What I wanted to do was start off with a community event to invite people in, to tell them to come in and